thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, to God be all the glory, amen. It's going to be a long night if you don't do no better than that. I'm from a long line of Pentecostal people. If you don't like Pentecost, you're about to be miserable. I have been preaching pretty much every day since last Wednesday. And I was supposed to be over in Branson, Missouri tonight with Brother Matt Hagee. I'm preaching there tomorrow night. This past Sunday, I was in Seattle. Sunday night and Monday, I was in Las Vegas, here in Westminster last night, here in Arvada tonight, Branson tomorrow night, North Carolina Friday night, South Carolina Saturday, and Saturday night back to Little Rock. But other than that, I'm just hanging out. So I like to have a good time. I think the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not just scriptures. It's just what we should live by. And I would get into some explanation of who that I am. Been born and raised in church all of my life. 13 preachers in my immediate family. I don't know anything about drugs or alcohol. If that is your story, God bless you. I'm glad you've been delivered. But I know about church. I know church better than I know anything else. I went to church 9 months before I was born. I found out that some of the meanest, gripingest, cantankerous, bitterest, hard to get along with people you'll meet on this planet, you'll meet in church. Thank you so much. Some sinners won't treat you like church people. That's why you need to go to heaven so you don't spend eternity with church people. Man, hang on, it gets better than that. Pick up your Bibles if you would. And the way that I'm feeling right now, you might want to open your Bibles, find a scripture. I'm sure I'll be by there shortly. Amen. What an honor and joy it is to be with Pastor George Morrison, Sister Cheryl. Some of the most precious people we've ever encountered. And it's an honor and privilege to be here with you at this great church. I'm going to be reading some scripture tonight. I have a little bit of lengthy reading, if you don't mind. And I've now got about 10 minutes after 7. They told me I had 45 minutes, so that's what I'm going to shoot for. Is that all right? If you get bored, wave at me, and we'll just shut her down. Amen? I am originally from Arkansas. I do live in Houston, Texas. I've been there for 8 years, but I'm not from Arkansas. I used to be there. I'm now from Texas. Amen. We'll get that real clear. I was born and raised in Arkansas. I don't know how much you know about Arkansas, but an Arkansas tornado and an Arkansas divorce has one thing in common. Either way you look at it, somebody's going to lose a trailer. Amen. So that's how it seems to go tonight. Amen. You might as well smile. The joy of the Lord is going to bless you. Stand to your feet, if you would, for the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to be in Genesis chapter number 1, if you don't mind, beginning in verse number 1. Just a couple of scriptures. I'll rush through them. We're going to Luke chapter number 8. Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens." Heavens. King James says heaven. The original Arabic Greek says heavens. "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and it was light. And God saw that it was good." Everybody say good. Good. You're not here, say good. Good. "God saw that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night, and the evening and morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament," that's an atmosphere, "let there be oxygen in the midst of the waters, and divide the waters from the waters. And God made the atmosphere and divided waters which were under the atmosphere from the waters which were above the atmosphere. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven." That is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek word that John talks about in the book of Revelation, that God carried him away past the first, second, third heaven, the third heaven where God is, the second heaven being outer space, the first heaven being what you see with the naked eye. That's what God called the atmosphere, and the evening and the morning were the second day. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good." Somebody say good. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was sown, and the earth brought forth the grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. If you know anything about Jewish history, you know that here in America, all of our kids get married on Friday and Saturday. In Israel, they get married on Tuesday, because it's the only day that God blessed twice and said it's good. So Tuesday is an important day. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 1. The third day is going to be very important tonight to you. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Everybody say kingdom of God. Verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, they came unto him out of every city. He spake a parable. A sower went out and sowed seed. Some of the wayside trodden down, the fowls ate it. Some on the rock withered away, no moisture. Some the thorns choked it out. Others on good ground brought 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears, let him hear. Jesus never said, he that hath eyes, let him see. He that hath a nose, let him smell. He that has fingers, let him touch. If you got ears, he says, set up and pay attention. His disciples said unto him, what's the deal with the parable? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I was raised in the Bible Belt. They told me there's just certain things you can't understand about the kingdom. But Jesus said that ain't true. Unto you, the children of light, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them, seeing they might not see and hearing they don't understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Say that with me. The seed is the word of God. In just a moment, here in a little bit, sometime during the message, the ushers are going to pass some little sacks down the aisle, and you're going to take out some seed. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But you need to understand one of the greatest revelations that God has ever given to me. He gave to me a year ago this month in the nation of Israel, sitting in the upper room. If you've ever been there, it's a very busy place. For 35 minutes, I sat alone. Not a soul came into that room, and God began to speak to me about this right here. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Somebody say, the seed is the word of God. Say this, the seed is the word of God. God's word is seed. If God's word is in me, then my words are seeds. This is going to bless you because I feel it coming on already. I want to talk to you about the hidden seed of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, right now for what I feel pressing in my spirit. Father, I did not expect to run into this. So I thank you now that you have brought these people here this week. You've been talking about us behind our back. So I thank you now, God, for what you're about to do. We're not here because our social life stinks and we got nowhere else to go on Wednesday night. We've gathered into this building to receive a word from you. I'm asking you now, God, to let every gift and talent that you gave to me the day that I was born, I lay it at your feet right now. It's at your disposal. Use it in this place, and we give you praise and honor and glory, and everybody glad you're saved. Shout out loud, amen. Amen. Sit down. Let's talk a little while. Give me some monitor here, if you don't mind. Lift me up a little bit. I like to hear me preach. There you go. Let me talk to you just a little while. I'm going to do some teaching tonight, but I'm also going to do some old-fashioned Pentecostal preaching. I'm going to try to keep and limit that because I'm limited on my time. But you need to know in the Word of God, there's two parts of the gospel of the Word of God. There is the person of Jesus and there is the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus will get you into eternity, but the principles of Jesus is for us to live here and now. One is the king, the other is the kingdom. Now for over 12 months, I've been preaching one subject, and that is the kingdom of God. Been raised in church all of my life. As I said a while ago, I guess I know more about church than I do anything else, but I was raised in a very legalistic Bible Belt down south. Now, if you don't know anything about that, you are blessed. But when I was a kid, if you had fun, you were going straight to hell because God did not think stuff was funny. My dad would preach that hell's so hot you could smell the smoke. They preached about that Jesus was coming at midnight, and I would look at my watch and it was 15 minutes after 9, and I wasn't right, and Jesus was was coming at midnight. There was five Caldwell boys in my family, and we would lay in bed 5 minutes till midnight with the cover pulled up over our head waiting on the rapture of the church. And we learned that if we could hear Dad snoring about 2 minutes after midnight, we had 24 hours of grace. They preached Jesus is coming, and there's going to be two grinding at the mill, and there's neither one of them going. There's going to be two in the field, and they're not going. There's going to be two on the roof, and they're not going, and there'll be two in the bed, and I'll bet you they're not going. And they preached that straight was the gate and narrow was the way, and ain't nobody ever found it. I'm so glad I have discovered that that ain't God, that's religion. I believe that religion is probably the most evil spirit that has ever been concocted on planet Earth. I think we owe the devil a little bit of thanks. He done a pretty good job of coming up with an idea of turning God's gospel into a religion, and we bought into it. But I'm here to explain to you that Jesus Christ, everything that he preached in 3.5 years, if you will go to the red letter, you will find that 71% of what is in the red letter is Jesus preaching publicly. 71% of all red letter is public preaching. 100% of that 71 is all about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ preached no other message other than the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. When I began to see that about 2 years ago, it took God a good 10 months to convince me that's really the message of the gospel. I've heard all of my life that when the message of Jesus Christ has been preached to every nation, then shall the end come. How many's ever heard that besides myself? Well, some of y'all should get out a little more because they preach it a lot. Understand that that's what I heard when I began to look for that scripture, Brother George. I found out that it's not there. It's just not there. It doesn't say when the message of Jesus has been preached to every nation, then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14 says, Jesus said, when this message of the kingdom of God has been preached unto every nation for a witness, then shall the end come. So much to my amazement, I begin to see what the kingdom of God message was, and I begin to look and see what God calls us. And I've always called myself a Christian, and I went to looking for the word Christian, and I found it one time in the word of God with an S on it. It's in the book of Acts, and it's not a word that we were called by Jesus or one of the disciples. It's actually a word by a bunch of pagans at Antioch that labeled a bunch of people who was worshiping this unknown God, and they called them Christians. And so I thought, wow, well, you take the S off and you find the word Christian in the word of God twice. The first time is also in the book of Acts by King Agrippa, who said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become one of those little Christ people. The next time it's found is by Simon Peter, who said, if they call you one of those little Christ people, take it as a lick on the chin and just keep on going. Now the word Christian has evolved. I'm going to help you in just a minute, so hang on. The word Christian has evolved to mean those who believe in Christ. But God never called us Christians in his kingdom. He called us citizens in his kingdom. Then when you begin to think about kingdom, you think about a king. When you think king, you think subjects. He don't call us subjects. He calls us sons and daughters. Why? Because sons and daughters are to look like their dad. Citizens represent their country, but he called us ambassadors, which is someone who speaks for their government. When I begin to see that I'm a son in the kingdom, a citizen of his kingdom, an ambassador, I got real cocky all of a sudden. Because if you understand anything about ambassadorship, I was in Nairobi, Kenya just a few months back, and they took me and stood me on a hill and showed me the valley of poverty. 1 million people living in a valley of huts made of cow dung and mud and tin roofs, utter just poverty and filth and violence and crime. 6 blocks behind me was the American Embassy, and it was the gross display of wealth. And someone said, oh, that's horrible. It's not horrible if you understand ambassadorship, because an ambassador does not live by the economic standards of where he's dwelling. He lives by the economic standards of where that he is from. And so when you begin to understand that we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and you understand the capital city has got gold streets in it, it don't matter what Dow Jones does. It don't matter what the housing market does, because I'm not living by the standards of where that I'm dwelling. I'm living by the standards of where I'm from. Somebody give him praise and honor to you. Okay, I'm back. So understand, when you begin to see the kingdom message is who that we are living here, you have to go all the way back to the beginning to understand seed. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm not going to argue with you about methods. Oh, but Brother Caldwell, you see, they believe that the earth and the universe took place with a big bang. Great, great, great. When it went bang, God done it. That's it. Verse 1 of the book of Genesis simply is this. Take that verse out of the Bible because it's a Bible by itself. But Brother Caldwell, they believe that the earth evolved. A germ fell out of a tree into a pool of water. And a tadpole grew and some legs and turned into a small frog, into a wart frog, to a bull frog, to a spider monkey. A spider monkey turned into a chimpanzee, to an orangutan, and to a gorilla, and then to a man. Listen, if you believe that, you're full of faith. You need to understand that. Because, sorry, Pastor. Understand that it takes a lot of faith to believe that instead of that there is a God. The point is, however we got here, God done it, and that's it. Amen? Not going to argue methods with you. I'm just going to show you something in the Word of God. When you begin to get to verse number 2, you run aground. Because it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I can show you day 1, he said, let there be light. Day 2, he said, let there be oxygen. Day 3, let there be dry land and bring forth grass and trees. He said, day 4, let there be a sun and moon of our solar system. Day 5, birds, fish, fowl, and cattle. Day 6, and man. Not one time did he say, let there be water. It's quiet in here tonight. Not one time. Why? Because the water was here when he got ready to put Adam and Eve in the garden. Well, maybe I'm missing something here, Pastor. Would you like to come and get this? Understand, the water was here, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm not going to discuss with you tonight what took place between verse 1 and verse 2. I just want to show you that God is the most predictable person you will ever encounter, because he always does what he says. Day 1, he says, let there be light. Day 2, he says, let there be oxygen. But day 3, he said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit tree, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. Now you must understand tonight the difference between where you are in your situation, the difference between facts, the truth, and what is true. A statement can be true and still not be the truth. Facts never reveal the truth. I hate to get political right here, but listen closely. If you think facts always reveal the truth, go ask Casey Anthony. Come on, guys. Facts hardly ever reveal the truth. But understand, a statement can be true and still not be the truth if you're living by the Word of God. Because you can go to the doctor and they find a knot in your body somewhere and do a biopsy on it and come back and say you have cancer. That statement may be true, but the truth is, by his stripes, you are healed. It may be true that your children are lost without God, but the truth is, if you will serve him, he will save you and your household. So if you can move beyond your circumstances and begin to understand what God done at the very beginning of time with seed, then you can understand the devil ain't got a chance to defeat you and your walk with God. If you can understand seed. See, everything that is a seed. Not just money, your prayer life, your walk with God, your appreciation of your pastor. Your attendance in this building tonight is a seed that's going to bring a harvest for the future. You need to understand that the devil is not big enough to do what he threatens to do, because greater is he of the spirit that's in you than he that's in the world. So understand that it was on the third day, not the first nor the second, but it was on the third day. Boy, it's dry in Colorado. Y'all got bullfrogs out here, 20-year-old, don't know how to swim. When you begin to understand the time frame of God, that day one was light, day two was oxygen, but day three is not when God said, let there be grass and trees. He said, let the earth bring forth grass and trees. So if you understand facts, true statements, and the truth, if I were to cut open an apple here in front of you, and I were to pull out a seed of that apple and you saw me do it, and I laid it in my hand and I said, tell me the truth, what do I have? You would say, an apple seed. But you would be wrong. That's not the truth, that's the facts. The truth is, if I've got enough patience, I'm holding a 30-foot tree that's got limbs on it and leaves and little red apples. That's got more seeds to grow more trees. So if I've got enough patience and I understand a little as much when God is in it, I'm actually holding an orchard as big as I want it to be. Are you with me? Because, watch, any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but God knows how to count the apples in a seed. And if God can count the apples in a seed, when he created Adam 6,000 years ago, in the loins of Adam was the seed of all mankind. No new life has been created since Adam and Eve. It's only been multiplied. The seed has been reproduced. So all seed of life was in Adam. If God can count the apples in a seed, he can count the seeds in Adam. That's how he knew you and chose you from the foundation of the world. So therefore, understanding the time frame can cause you to walk victorious. See, if you can be patient during the process, you will receive the promise of God. But what devil wants you to do is he wants you to sow seeds with your words, your presence, your money, whatever that seed might be. And then because it don't happen when you think it should happen, he wants you to start mouthing, and what you do is abort God's harvest for you. So what I've decided, if God's word is seed and his word's in me, then my words are seed, then I'm just going to start saying good things. See, I grew up in the South, in case you hadn't picked up on that in there yet. I was raised in a very negative, legalistic atmosphere. If I've heard it once, I've heard my father say 100 times, it beats all I've ever seen. If it was raining soup, I'd have a fork. My dad would say, if I owned a pumpkin farm, they'd cancel Halloween. And I grew up thinking God was out to get me because they preached against everything. Preached against television and called it hellavision. Come on, y'all, you live in Colorado, you didn't have to go through that, but let me just vent just a little bit. They preached against women cutting their hair. Preached against women wearing jewelry. Preached against women wearing makeup. And thank God we've changed, because I don't know about Colorado, because we raised some ugly women back in Arkansas, but that's another story. But you need to understand, when I begin to look at some of those rules, about 90% of them was made up by a bunch of controlling men trying to control women who had issues in their own life. So I'm glad that I'm free. And I begin to understand what you say. Well, I hate to see wintertime coming, but why? I just catch the flu every winter. Guess what happens every winter? You catch the flu because your words are seeds and you plant a harvest to catch the flu. And wintertime comes, you catch the flu. So I just say, I'm getting younger and sexier every day. You ain't got to say nothing. I've got a mirror at my hotel room. I can see. I'm just saying to you guys, there's a process that if you understand and you're patient in that process, you receive the promise of God, because he moves in threes. Now, let me breathe in and stop the preaching and talk to you just a minute. Understand that God did not call the seed forth until the third day. There's a pattern in the word of God that he always brings the seed forth on the third day. Now, I grew up that when somebody died, they'd say, oh, be careful, two more is going to die, because they always die in threes. Y'all look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't act like this. You know good and well you know what I'm talking about. Something bad happened. Oh, bad things come in threes. You know why they said that? Because it's a distortion of the truth of the Word of God. It's not bad things that come in threes. It's blessings that come in threes. And when something good happens, boy, shrimp. No, don't look for two more. Because good things come your way in threes. Because that's God's number. Number of completion is 7. 10 is the number of testing. 5 is grace. 12 is government. I won't get into all the numbers, but understand that 3 is when he called forth the seed at the end of the third day. So now, if God did not say, let there be grass and trees, but he said, let the earth bring forth grass and trees, then that means the seed was under the ground. So therefore, if the seed was under the ground, it had to be there from the beginning. But he didn't call it forth until the end of the third day. So watch this. I talked to Rabbi Scheinberg in San Antonio, and I said, is it true that rabbis believe when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water in Genesis 1 and 2, that it was in the form of a dove? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, if the Spirit of God moved in the form of a dove over the waters, then the Spirit was over the water, and the water was over the land, and the land was over the seed. So therefore, God had to organize things before he got ready to bring forth a harvest. When you get a promise from God, you have to know that if you want God's best, you have to organize the rest. Well, I wish God would give me a better paying job. Be faithful with your tithe on the one you got now. I lost my shouters, Rev. Where'd they go? I wish I had a better car than wash the one you have. Let me check my notes. I could have swear they're supposed to shout right there. See, when you show God you care about what you have, then he can bless you with more of what you have now. Now watch. So therefore, if the Spirit was in the form of a dove, the Hebrew word for dove is yonah, Y-O-N-A-H. But if you know anything about Hebrew at all, there's no J's in the Hebrew alphabet. So all Y's is translated into a J. That's why Yahweh is translated into the word Jehovah. Because there's no V's, there's just W's and no J's, Y's. So you have Yahweh, which is Jehovah. But Yonah, when it is translated into English, spells Jonah. And I thought, wait a minute, the Spirit of God was Jonah? Well, of course not. Jonah's name means dove. So if he moves in threes and the Spirit was in the form of a dove at the beginning, but didn't call the seed forth on the third, and it's the word Jonah in English, then I had to go look at the prophet Jonah. And much to my amazement, he's the first Hebrew prophet that was told to take the word of God to the Gentile people, which is us. But Jonah didn't want to go. So he gets on a boat. And he says, I ain't going. And God says, oh yeah? And a storm comes up. And Jonah is a reeling and a rocking. Now watch. Jonah was not on that boat by himself. There was other people on his boat. God was not upset with the other people. God was upset with Jonah. They just happened to be in the same boat he was on when God was mad at him. So that leads me to discover that sometimes when you go through troubles in your life, it ain't because you've done something, it's who you're hanging out with. I'm going to hang on. So therefore, here's the principle. One Jonah off your boat will stop your storm. And if I have to decide between my ship sinking and you being swallowed by Moby Dick, you win the prize. So Jonah hops off the ship. He's got the word in him, watch, and he's swallowed by a whale. Don't go to Jonah. It says a big fish. Jesus in Matthew 12 and verse 40 says it was a whale. So I'm going to go with the words of Jesus. He was swallowed by a whale, and the whale spits him up on dry land. He's got the word in him. And Luke says the seed is the word of God. The word of God is seed. So therefore, the whale spit out the seed. on the third day. Then when we go to the New Testament, we find the first Hebrew disciple that took the word of God to the Gentiles was a man called Simon Peter, but his real name was Simon Bar Jonah, son of a dove. Watch the pattern. Joseph, don't be upset. That which is in Mary is conceived of the Holy Spirit, the dove. He is the word, the seed that is made flesh. We're going to plant him and call him forth on the third day. Because the principle is, seed can't do nothing but just grow. 1939, they opened up King Tut's tomb. And they found 3,000-year-old wheat germ seed. And they planted it, and it grew. A friend of mine, a pastor, bought a piece of property across the street from his church. They tore down an old house that had been there for 80 years. Roof caved in on blocks. Have you ever seen an old house torn down? See, the dirt is just old barren, dry dirt. He said, "Preacher, I walked into my office in early spring, right after we tore the house down, opened up my window shades, and over there in the middle of where that house sat was a blood red tulip about that tall. And the Holy Ghost began to tell me that the bulb of that tulip, the seed of that tulip, had been laying there for 80 years. But the minute the junk got out of the way and the sun got a hold of the seed, seed couldn't do nothing but what seed does, and that's bring forth the harvest." Can somebody give him praise and honor in here? Now, here's a little story about threes of a young lady by the name of Esther. Her name was not actually Esther. Her name was Hadassah. A Benjamite young lady who was a virtuous girl that had been placed in the middle of a bunch of heathens. And Mordecai said, "Don't you tell nobody what your name is. We're going to give you a new name, not Hadassah, but Esther." Why? Because God can see the end from the beginning, and he saw what the devil had planned. So he planted, see, the devil loves to sow tares among the wheat. But God likes to get back at the devil and sow wheat among the tares. He done it with Esther. He done it with Joseph. He done it with Moses. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So that's why you need to understand that you are in God's kingdom and the word of God is in you. So where you live, your neighborhood, where you work, where you attend school, don't be upset because things are not going your way. He has planted you there, and when the time is right, he's bringing forth the seed. So the king is reading his chronicles one night, and he says, "That Jewish fella, Mordecai, blessed me. Saved my life, and I never paid him back. So I think I'll bless him tomorrow." And he blesses him, and a guy named Haman gets all bent out of shape. Now, if you do a little genealogy study, I love to do it in the Word of God, you'll find out that Haman got upset when somebody else got blessed because he's a descendant, a direct descendant of Esau, who is the original spirit of getting mad when somebody else gets blessed. Just checking, I put the shouts in the wrong place, apparently. Watch. So he says, "We're going to kill the Jews." And Mordecai says, "You got to go talk to the king. And you know, if you just go talk to the king, when you're good and ready, they could just kill you." So she said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go talk to him. But you tell the people, before I do, before I begin to speak out the word, the seed, tell him to pray and fast for 3 days. I'm so excited about what's going to happen by Saturday for somebody." Watch, guys. Watch. The ushers have at the end of the rows right now. Pass them out. Thank you, ushers. They have some seed. Everybody look at me. Don't be distracted because I'm closing. Watch. Because if you get distracted, I have ADD and I get distracted. Actually, I have HD, ADD, which is high definition attention deficit. Which simply means it's very difficult to get me to focus, but once I do, it is unbelievably clear. Now, all I want you to do, guys, watch, is I want you to take some seed, okay? Don't eat it. Please don't eat it. Please. And I want you to hold it in your hand. Because watch, that seed they're handing out to you is just plain old corn seed. Now watch. You will not believe. Look here. If you was in Vegas, I know you don't gamble. But if you was a gambling person and you was in Vegas and you didn't know anything about gardening, anything about seed, and I laid that corn on the table and said, bet you $1,000 there's a 9-foot stalk in there. You take that bet. Because look in your hand. That don't make no sense. See, look here. I got a whole package of them. It don't make no sense. But inside that seed you're holding is a 9-foot stalk. It has got a root system that would blow your ever-loving mind. It's got leaves on it. And it's got about 2 to 3 ears of corn, about 10 to 12 inches long, always an even number of rows, and anywhere from 400 to 600 kernels on each cob. Wow. Okay. You know where that seed come from you're holding in your hand? Your government. They done that for you. Easy. Apparently there's a Republican in the building. Okay, now. I'm just kidding, Pastor. Okay, watch. The government didn't produce that. No scientist, no laboratory has produced that. Look at that seed. You know where that come from? Came off of a cob. I know this is deep. Just stay with me. That kernel you're holding in your hand came off of a cob that used to be on a stalk that was grown from a kernel that had come off of a cob that was on a stalk that came from a kernel that used to be on a cob that was on a stalk that was grown from a kernel that was on a cob. If I can trace the DNA of that kernel of corn you're holding, I can trace it 6,000 years to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12. That 6,000 years ago, God said, hey, corn, I need you to grow a 9-foot stalk, give me a root system of leaves, 2 to 3 ears of corn, 400 to 600 kernels, and as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. You are holding 6,000 years of the physical spoken word of God. Now watch. Does anybody believe that won't grow corn? Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Because in case you don't have a green thumb, I have a package here. In case you don't know how to garden, says on the back, plant it 1 inch to 1.5 inches deep. Okay? Put them about 12 inches apart. Make sure the rows are 3 feet apart. And in 3 months, you get corn. Well, I'll be dadgum. In case you don't know anything at all, there's a picture of the United States right there on the back. And it's got colors on it. And if you live in the blue part, you have to plant it in June because it gets cold quick in the blue part. If you're in the brown part, May to July. In the pink part, April to July. Now, if you're down south in the green part, just March to August, you're going to get corn. Now, watch. Why is that going to grow corn? Because it's the word of God. I got a package up here of carrot seeds. You can believe what that'll grow. Corn. Stay with me, babe. This is corn, carrots. All right, watch. I just play with you. Watch here, guys. Whatever you plant, if you put corn in the ground, you don't get green beans. Tomatoes don't grow carrots. So the principle is, whatever you sow, you reap. Because watch, it is the spoken word of God. Watch. 6,000 years of proof of spoken word of God in my hand. What's the difference? Wait. I had you on the corn. How many believes that'll go corn? Glory, corn. Same word. Same God. You know corn's gonna grow. That says you're blessed. Coming in, going out in the city, in the field. Laying down, rising up. You're the head, not the tail. You above, not beneath. Those that bless you, he'll bless. Those that curse you, he'll curse. But Brother Caldwell, I don't... Shut up. It's the same word that's in that corn package. If that's going to grow corn, count on it. He'll do exactly what he said. Somebody give him praise and honor here. No weapon formed against me can prosper. He said he's coming back. When I don't know, hush. Well, he's right here, hush. When I don't believe in rapture, that's fine, you're not going. I'm not going to talk about that with you. People say you believe pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I don't give a rip trib. If it's pre, put me on it. If it's mid, throw me on that one. If it's post, I'll take that. Just when and if it happens, I'm just going to go. Why? Because the book says so. And this says that those that come against you, pray for them. See, we've lost the translation, the word for. I looked it up a few years ago to study the seed. And when Jesus said you need to pray for your enemies, he was actually saying the word for there, which is actually in the original Arabic Greek. He actually says you need to pray for, meaning pray that you might have. I thought, well, why in the world does he want me to have an enemy? Believe it or not, I can get good at that. But you understand. He said, pray that you might have an enemy. And it stumped me for about 6 months. And then I got to looking. Why does he want you to have an enemy every now and then? Because the only place in the Word of God that he promises to spread a table before you is in the presence of your enemies. So he said, if you got one, I can show out. Oh, but brother George Marston, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going. You just need to pray for me. How's your week going? I've been to hell and back. Well, back is important. Glad you made the trip. Well, I'm really going through hell, Pastor. What should I do? Don't stop. For God's sakes, don't stop now. See, what you have to understand is in you is your own spoken victory. And when you say, I'm going through it, I've never heard anybody say, boy, if you just believe what I'm stuck in. You're going through it. So here's the principle, and I'm done. Watch this. The principle is everything you do is seed. Everything you say is seed. And here it is. Watch, you're going to love this. In February of 2008, the Norwegian government opened up a vault north of the Arctic Circle. In that vault since February of 2008, every government and nation on this planet has contributed to the vault that's owned by the Norwegian government. It's over a mile-long vault underneath the frozen ice of Antarctica. The Arctic Circle, pardon me. And every government has contributed, not money, but every nation has given the Norwegian government seed to put in that vault from their nation. Every flower in their country, every crop, every tree, everything that has a seed, they've contributed. Why? It's called the Doomsday Vault. In case there's a global catastrophe or a nuclear holocaust, they've got seed to replant whatever's lost. That tells me you can recover from anything as long as you got seed. My God, Randy Caldwell, that was a good thought. So you need a... Oh, but Brother Caldwell, what about my children? They're lost. If you've ever took that boy or that daughter to one Sunday school class and they heard Jesus saves, there's seed in that kid. I'm sorry, sometimes that Pentecost South just comes out. And all you got to do is have patience and faith in God, because seed is going to grow. Because he brings a seed forth on the third day. And I ain't got time to get into one day's 1,000 years and 1,000 years, because 2,000 years ago he planted Jesus Christ. We're coming up on the 3,000, which is the third day, and the principle is he brings a seed forth on the third day. I'm not sure about you, but I think Jesus is coming. Somebody give him praise. So here's what I say. I say that from this day forward, I'm going to speak good things. I'm going to speak good things. Proverbs 25 and 2. Come on, musicians. Proverbs 25 and 2 simply says, it is the glory of God. Watch. It is the glory of God to conceal. Thank you. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Will you give me 60 seconds? The word honor and the word glory are the exact same Hebrew word. Exact word. And it means reputation, splendor, and benefit of. When you see the word thing, matter, it's the same Hebrew word. D-V-A-R in the ancient Hebrew, D-B-A-R in current Hebrew. It means devour or debar, which means a word in a word. So that says it is the reputation, splendor, and glory of God to conceal a word in a word. But it's the splendor, reputation, and benefit of kings to search out a word that's in a word. And then Brother George Morrison, I went and looked up the word kings, and you ain't gonna believe that word kings is found in one other place in the entire Bible, in the Hebrew. It don't mean reigning king, it means those who are to reign in the future. So it says it's the splendor and reputation and benefit of God to conceal a word in a word. But it's the reputation, splendor, and benefit of those that's going to reign in the future to search out the word he put in the word. But watch. I thought I might as well look up the word conceal. And it means to hide with the purpose of provoking someone to seek. So it says, it's the reputation, splendor, and benefit of God to hide with the purpose of provoking someone to seek a word he hid in a word. But it's the splendor, reputation, and benefit of those who's going to reign in the future to go search out what he hid in his word. The word conceal is spelled in the Hebrew, psalmic tavresh, which means to hide with the purpose of intending someone to seek. How many of you ever played hide and seek? It's no fun if you're just playing hide. If you're just playing hide, you need some friends. But watch. When you spell the word conceal, samik tavaresh, if you take the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which God is, the letter aleph, and put on the front of that word conceal, to hide for a purpose and a time to bring forth, it don't spell conceal anymore. It simply spells Esther. God has known what he's doing from the foundation of the world. And I do declare to you, Faith Chapel, that a seed that was planted that has not been harvested yet, this building, this church, this body of believers is about to reap unharvested seed. Somebody give him praise and honor. Come on, Pastor. Come on, give him glory. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight. There are those in this place that are looking for unharvested seed. If you've got lost children, stand to your feet. Come on, just go ahead. Everybody just stand to your feet. If you've got lost children, raise your hand. Raise it, my God. Look at that. Hold them up there. Father, seed don't do nothing but grow. That's all it does. There's seed in those kids. Hallelujah. There's seed in those kids. Let somebody see it reap by Saturday. Somebody else, it may take 3 weeks, 3 months, but you do it in threes. So, Father, the seed that's been planted, there are those that are in need of a job. They've sowed seed in your kingdom. Bring it forth. There's those that are sickness in their body. Father, as I stand here to fulfill the office of prophet tonight to speak into these people's life, I ask you to bring forth the unharvested seed. Minister to them. Lift up your hands right now and receive. Come on. Just receive right now. As they sing and pastor comes back to the pulpit, just begin to receive. Just begin to receive. Go ahead, brother, begin to sing.
How great is our God. Sing to me, how great is our God. And I will see how great.
This message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.